You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Back in 2008, we went through Hurricane Ike in Houston, and whenever that hit, we went to Houston. And at the time, we called it a hurricane. You know, we got to go and spend time in Austin with friends, and we had a little, our daughter was five and a half, and our son had really just been born. He was probably 6 months old at the most. And, you know, we remember that time, and whenever we got back, we realized that our ceiling had caved in, significant damage, and we had to replace walls. Our daughter's room was, basically had to just redo that. We had replaced flooring, got some good flooring, yeah, thanks insurance. But a tornado had hit our little area in the middle of the hurricane. But what I remember the most out of all of that was that in the midst of when we came back, we had made some calls to some friends. And what I remember most is that our entire life group, small group, came, and they all helped us. We had people on their hands and knees ripping up flooring. You know, there were some that they ripped that we didn't want them to rip, but still, they ripped it up. They were helping us. They were cleaning us so that when we came back, we would have a place to stay with our little brand new baby boy. There are moments in life that make me think of this one particular psalm, and it's Psalm 133. And this is what it says. It says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore." Now we read that and we think, ew, oil down my head, my beard. Wash your face. Yeah. We hear dew of Hermon, we think, what? What is that? I think some of this has been lost. So as I say, as in what I always say, is context. It's okay. Context. You got to look at what she's talking about, what this person's talking about here. So oil back then was common, but certain types of oil, very expensive. Oil was meant for medicine. It was meant for health, for healing. Oil that you have enough of to be able to run down your beard, to be able to have enough to where it runs on the collar of your robes. Oil is good, it's healthy, it's valuable. That means you have enough, and you have more than enough. To have more than enough is to be wealthy. And in the mind of the Jewish person, to have more than enough is to be blessed. Dew of Hermon is significant too. It does not rain very much in Israel. Just a couple of months a year it rains. Rain is precious. In fact, people have done an enormous amount shifting water. If you go there, you'll notice that there's very green areas in Israel. And that's because they have done a lot to shift the River Jordan and to kind of shape and mold where that goes. I mean, it's very brilliant, some of the things that they have done, so that people can have waters. Now, the reason that it only rains for a few months each year is that, of course, it's a very dry climate. If it doesn't, there are no crops, no food, no fruit, no wine, no grapes. Rain, it's precious. So if you have no rain, food is scarce. The land is parched. People are in a dry and weary land. You ever heard of that before in Scripture? So when it does rain, it is literally God blessing his people. Not figuratively. Rain is a blessing. Water is a blessing. Now, Hermon. Hermon is in the northern side of Israel. It's right borders with Lebanon. If you know anything about the history and the wars and things, this is a very strategic area here. But Mount Hermon is different. It receives an abundant amount of moisture because of its closeness to the Mediterranean Sea. More moisture, dew, water, the bigger and more abundant the crops. Now, just look at that right there. That's not because they piped in water. This is because this area around this mount is valuable and precious. More dew, more moisture equals more crops. More moisture equals better, more abundant and bigger fruit. So more water equals more blessing from God, it seems. I love this image in Psalms of abundance, of health, prosperity, blessing. You know, it's not about the fact that you're wealthy. You shouldn't be just looking for money, but there is something here about God's blessing when people live in unity. Unity is like water. Unity creates fruit, not just things that we can survive on. Big fruit, abundant fruit, things that you can get oil and have enough of it. Unity. I love it how unity is equated to oil and to water here. People loving one another, who care for one another. It's good. It's healthy. It's abundant, and it produces fruit in abundance when people are in unity. So as we were in our small group, a friend and his wife, they asked us if they could begin a new group. Now, our group had kind of branched off several times over the years. We've been doing groups for about 25 years. And he said, hey, could we just begin our own group in our part of town? They lived in Deer Park in that area, and it was just a little farther. It's a lot farther than where we were. And we said, yes, go with God's blessing. Do it. Some of our group decided to go with them. You know, they were close, and it's never easy because we'd all gotten close. But we also knew that it was time for them to go share the gospel with people in their area, and that is what they did. You know, sometimes you have to leave and be the people of God and share his gospel in different communities. In Luke chapter 9, we see this. It says, Jesus sent his disciples out to do just that. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. This group, they set out to live and to proclaim Jesus in their neighborhoods. Our friends of ours, they began inviting people into their homes, and it was exciting to see what they'd done and how many people started to come and the community that started to develop around this group of people who were committed to one another. So a few years later, the leader, his name is Brad, I've talked about him before, but he was diagnosed with cancer. It was the same type of cancer that affected Jaden Thompson. Brad and his family, they searched the world for treatment. They went all over, Germany, Mexico, you name it. They tried it. They went everywhere. But it wasn't meant to be. I was able to spend a lot of time with him during his last few weeks of life, and I spent time videoing him, and he told stories so that his kids would be able to hear the stories that he told from him, his mouth. And man, I tell you, it was hard, difficult. But what I remember in that moment, I remember the constant stream of his small group who would come, bring dinner, sit with them. They would play with his kids, sit with his wife, clean their kitchen. It wasn't sympathy. It was life. It was life. It's quality time. A time that they would all remember for the rest of their lives. But this sacred space would not have been created for them were it not for their ongoing desire to meet regularly, not only in church, but with each other in their homes, and not just on a social level. They met and they wanted to meet in the name of Jesus Christ. And what's neat is that they met because they loved one another. And I will tell you, I loved him and his family. I didn't really like him all that much, and he didn't really like me either. And it's funny because we would have these back and forth, but we loved each other because we were brothers in Jesus Christ. And he tried to reach out to me, and I tried to reach out to him. It wasn't just social here. This is a spiritual friendship. But in this last chapter of Brad's life, this small group and I would experience something that would shape the rest of our lives. And I remember the evening that Brad passed away. He's about 36 years old, two small kids. The evening he passed away, I was called. I think I had just left to go home, and they said he's died. So I came back, and I tell you, his house was full. There was some silence here and there, but there was laughter. There were tears, there was joy, it was sacred space, and it wasn't accidental. It had come from this commitment that they had for one another, from the time that we'd all spent together. And what I found ironic, really, in this moment of death, was that I found life, and it was good. It made me wonder what it must have been like for the small group Jesus spent his time with. Why didn't Jesus just call 1,000 people and say, hey, we're going to start a church? Why did he just call, really? Who knows how many people he called? 12 people responded, and some women spent time with him. So they had probably maybe 20 people that spent time with Jesus. That was his small group. And in the midst of that group, he had a few that were really close friends. And I wonder what that was like as that small group got together after Jesus had died and he showed up. How sacred was that? Makes me realize that sometimes to get bigger, to get more connected with everyone, you've got to kind of go smaller. If you can't do it with this small group of people, how are you going to be able to do it with a larger group? You know, Shelly and I have seen the best of people and the worst of people in small groups, and they've seen the best and the worst of us in small groups. But I wouldn't change any of it, because it is good when brothers and sisters spend time together and dwell together in unity. In the name of Jesus, not just on a social level, but with the hope that they're going to get to share the good news of Jesus Christ in an ongoing manner in their life, in their laughter, in their food, in their play, in their scripture, in their prayer. It's hard to bear with one another and encourage one another if you don't know them well enough to know what to encourage or what to pray for. I think what's fascinating to me about this entire concept of dwelling together in unity is that whenever we are able to share the good news of God together in this smaller group, we have this opportunity with a larger group to share grace, mercy, forgiveness, and hope, because that is life and that is valuable, it's healthy, it's abundant, and it is sacred. So over the past few months, our elders have been praying together. They've been thinking about you. They've been trying to figure out how can we get this environment to where we can, as a family, create sacred space spiritually, relationally. Now, Skip, I'd like to ask you to come on up, and Skip's going to talk to us just a little bit about what this new ministry emphasis is going to look like. And then afterwards, I'm going to ask Russell to come up. And I'm also going to encourage you, stay once we get finished, because we have a few baptisms at the end of service today. So please, Skip, stay right here.
Thank you, Scott. Am I on? Sounds like I am. Yes, we started out, we talked to each class, as Gonzalo talked about last week, and talked to even the youth group class, and just wanted to get a feel for what would help you grow more spiritually. And I can't help but think that as we go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, I don't know if you want to follow along with me there or not, but I'm going to read the book of Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 41. And this is really a message that I think still resonates with us today. Those who accepted his message and were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So what did this 3,000 do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we see from this example of the early Christians, this first 3,000 that were worshiping Christ, their spiritual life had two aspects to it. It had what we're doing this morning, coming together, whether it was in the temple courts or wherever they gathered together, and worshiping God. Russell did a great class this morning upstairs about coming to the cross. It was really, really inspiring that's why we're here, because Jesus died on that cross for us. And so we spend this time together this morning worshiping Christ, worshiping God together, singing praises as Scripture gives us example, praying, giving our funds to help this church grow, to help foreign missions grow. And this is a great time every Sunday that we spend together to come and worship Him. So then as we listen to you, there's a second part of this. And we just read it. They ate, they broke bread in their homes together. They gathered in their homes. They spent time together. So this small group concept that we're going to start, starting tonight, gives you the opportunity, as Scott was talking about, to be part of a smaller group that you have things definitely in common with, that you can share a deeper meaning of your life together. I look over here at the youth group. They're going to be a small group. What's important to them right now, what they want to learn about, think about, talk about in their small group, is different than we're probably going to do in the Wilson group tonight. Two different avenues, but yet, as you look around this room, we're all still fellow Christians together. So you're going to have opportunities to grow closer to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ through a small group. If you don't become a part of a small group, you're missing out. To be real honest, you're going to be missing out of an opportunity to get closer to God through fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Now, Robert Bennett and Bob Templeton are always, and Chuck Bloomberg, they're going to always be up here together. There will always be a group here at the building. So there's always a home for you to be here and come back to the building on Sunday nights. I think it's still going to be at 5 and be together with that group. But if you look in this auditorium, there's 6 sections. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Well, think of those 6 sections as representing the 6 groups that are, quote, outside the building on Sunday nights. Well, this group might decide that this Sunday night they want to join the group at the building. Then they might decide the next Sunday night they're going to worship in one of them's homes, gather together, spend time together in one of their homes. The next Sunday they might decide they're going to all go to lunch together. There's nothing wrong with any of that, because they're going to be fellowshipping one with another no matter what the group decides to do. So each group will have that opportunity to do what relates to them the most, what helps them grow closer to each other the most, but as Russell's class was so good this morning, but yet always focused on Christ, always focused on salvation through Christ and the cross. So we're excited about this opportunity for the growth of this church, for what it can mean to each of you to have this time to spend with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in fellowship, in breaking bread in homes, but also in coming together in this, quote, temple court here at the building and worshiping together on Sunday mornings. We have tasked Russell. He's going to be overseeing this program. I know he'll do an excellent job, and so I'm going to turn it over to Russell right now to add to what else the guys have planned for this program. If you have any questions about this, the elders are always available to talk to you about it, but we're excited about where this is going to take us as a church body.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, so they have charged you. This is a brand new ministry emphasis on small groups. Okay, yeah. So could you tell us a little bit about kind of what the hope is for this new emphasis? And I know we've mentioned a little bit about it this morning, but I know this is one of your passions, and so I wanted to kind of open it up to you.
Yeah, so my hope is that we become better at being with one another. One of the struggles is I think, especially in a day and age which pushes individuality, which pushes locked doors and big fences, my hope is that life groups become something that breaks down all of these barriers. Yeah. And so that you know the life of the person in your group so well that they know you're praying for them. They know your story as much as you know their story. And so my hope with this is that you've heard me say this over and over, but that radical hospitality becomes part of our who we are at this church, where our homes become a place of sacred space, where breaking of bread becomes a moment in which we see each other differently, where we pray differently with one another, where we speak differently to one another, where we're not afraid to tell our stories to one another. My hope is that through small groups, through life groups, that we intentionally try to create a habitable space for God to do amazing things. And that's my hope. Yeah.
Now, I know this is something that we've kind of done in the past. Mm-hmm. How is this different than what we've done in the past?
If you've been with us, you know we've experimented with everything when it comes to small groups. And I think the biggest difference with this is we are now saying this is going to be who we are. This is intentionality at its strongest level. We are intentionally saying as a church, we invite our members to grow with one another in smaller groups. And I think we haven't really said that. We've always struggled with how to do that over the last, 5 or 6 years. But I think with our leadership and the prayers that they have really been praying and the listening they've really been doing, they've looked and said, this is good. Mm-hmm. This is who we are. This is how we can grow. And not just growth numerically, but I think we also need some growing relationally mm-hmm. with one another. Yeah. And I think when relational happens, the Spirit of God does some amazing things. And so I think that's the difference is, this is who we are from now on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's exciting.
That's great. Now, how many do we have? How many small groups do we have? I know we have one here at the building.
We have 7 total.
And it's going to meet at 5 p.m. every
right.
Sunday night.
7 total. Yeah.
So where are they?
They're going to be, we are all over. We have a few in Grapevine, one in Southlake Trophy Club, Colleyville, Grapevine. We're pretty much spread out to cover most of the area that we live in.
Yeah.
We hope in the future to be able to put a small group in Keller, but right now that's kind of just, that's the dream. There's a lot of dreams and hopes for this ministry that we see 6 months down the road, 10 months down the road, and 12 months down the road. But right now, as you can see with this map, we're pretty much spread out and have the areas covered that we would like to be covered right now. Now, to say that also means I know there are some of you who may not want to who live in Southlake but don't want to hang out with any of us in Southlake, but would love to go to Flower Mound, and that's cool too.
Yeah.
You are not bound by your region or your area. It may be easier for you to do that, or you may want to go somewhere else. Again, the hope is in any of these, in all of these, that we're growing relationally.
Yeah.
With one another.
Yeah. Now, in the 20 plus years we've been doing it, we've seen there's a lot of misconceptions about small groups and what small groups is. And I thought it was as I'm thinking through those this week, what are some that you've heard?
Well, I mean, the one I can think of the most is you want me to go to somebody's house that I don't know and hang out with. It is so easy to come on Sunday mornings. Why do you think 300 plus of us like to come here on Sunday mornings? Because if we're good, we can get out of here without really talking to people. Because it's easy. I mean, and it's not. It's easy. We can sit in the back, do our thing, and go. Because there's no real threat to us. What I would tell you is give it a shot. You may be surprised. We can't help but look in Scripture. Skip mentioned Acts 2. We can't help but see Acts 4. We can't help but look at Acts 16 with Lydia. Churches were started because of people opening up homes and making space for one another. So what I will tell you is, I know you're afraid. We're not going to bombard you. First Sunday, you do not have to confess all your sins. That's second Sunday.
Is that good?
But not
good.
First Sunday.
At our house tonight, it is sin confession night. Yeah. So if you want
to. But none of that. My challenge to each of you is, give me one Sunday.
Yeah.
Give me one Sunday where you break bread and you talk to people and you laugh and tell stories and you pray with one another, and I think God will start doing something to your heart. Yeah. So that's my challenge to you. Give me one Sunday.
So One of my last questions, I have two more. One of them is, what is it going to look like? Like if I go to your house,
yeah.
What is it going to look like? Are they all these groups going to look the same?
I don't know.
Meeting at the same time?
Well, they may, as Skip said. The groups are going to be autonomous to kind of do what they feel best for their group to do. I will tell you this. There will be, and I'll use the word markers, there will be markers, I think, of these groups. And those markers will be, I think we will see hospitality. Mm-hmm. Hospitality is a marker. It's in Scripture all over the place. We'll see hospitality with one another. I think there will be praying with one another, sharing with one another, swapping stories with one another. And I think there will be at times, especially if you go to Richard's house, he makes really good chili.
Going to be food.
Food.
Okay, there you go.
So there could be that as well. They're not always going to look the same. Yeah. Oh, ice cream tonight. So, jackpot. But they're going to have these markers that are going to be kind of characteristics of who we are. And who we are as a community of people. So I think you'll see that. Now, it may look different from Sunday to Sunday. Mm-hmm. They may meet at different homes, or they may, as Skip said, do different things.
And decide to come up here.
Right, but even up here, it's going to be the small group that meets up here, the life group that meets up here, will have the same markers of hospitality and prayer
and scripture
and storytelling and all of this. And so though that's because we think that's who we are, and I think that's who we are.
Yeah. So. Okay, last question, and then we're going to have the baptism here in a second, is we're calling them life groups now.
Yeah.
Why is that? What's the change there?
Well, because first off, we're kind of transforming them a little bit, so it's always good to slap a new name on it. But secondly, because when we really think about what we're doing life together, right? Everything that I've said, hospitality, breaking of bread, praying with one another, sharing stories, well, it's all things that you think about probably when you sit around the table with your family, right? Yeah. We're doing life together. Our hope is, as Scott has told us in his stories, that this becomes a life thing. Mm. We do everything. We see each other differently. When we see each other, that how can we take care of one of our people in our life group when they're hurting? How can we pray for them? How can we, any of those things. So we changed it to life groups because we see this as an invitation to do life together. And I think that's the most exciting part, is we are asking not us now to not just be a Sunday, Wednesday crowd, but to be an everyday kind of group of people. And that's exciting.
Christianity, it just isn't a belief that we think, or it's not just something we do. It was called the way,
right,
because it is a life that
Absolutely.
We live.
Yeah, Skip mentioned that today with our class on the cross, and what Jesus was inviting us to is a way of life, right?
Yeah.
The cross is an invitation into a way of life. And so we're inviting all of us into a way of life with one another, and we think that's what God, through the Spirit, is asking this community to do. So I'm excited. I hope you're excited. I know it's going to be a little bit different, but it's good.
Yeah. Well, we are going to have sign-ups in the back, and that's, we're asking you, just go back and look at those lists today and sign up, and we'll have them out for the next few weeks. And as Russell said, give us one night. You know, just give us once. Mm-hmm. And I think that you'll find that there is a lot more ready for you.
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.